Hey, this is Taylor.
This is Jake.
And this is Dan.
And this is Unicorn Finders, where we are on the search to illuminate the elusive unicorn factor in everyday people, businesses, and relationships. Hope you enjoy.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. No guests today, just Dan and I. Sorry if you're extremely disappointed. But Dan and I are funny, kind of. So we can at least provide some sort of entertainment value for this Thursday morning. But next week, we got a startup on the show next week. It was an introduction, Dan, believe it or not, from Kelly Vaughn.
Nice.
Kelly Vaughn looking out for us. So this individual is a former executive at Shopify. Obviously, Kelly's really big in that space. We're going to be talking, let's see here, is it existing development tooling? Is a complete reimagination of how a job should be done in order to be more productive and effective? So it looks like it's going to be a developer kind of tooling to help with that. And then the 25th, we also have another one on, Samela. I actually met her a few years back in Miami when I was down there for React Miami. And she started a company called Block, which is a members-only home exchange marketplace that's designated to help the Black travelers community save more on lodging while joining a community of like-minded people. So cool. It sounds like Airbnb and Soho House. So pretty cool. So those are the next 2 weeks. But today, Dan and I are just talking about the market today and kind of what we're seeing. Dan, how are you doing this morning?
Man, doing great. It's a little chilly here in Tampa. That's why I got the old hoodie on.
Yeah.
It's a new year. New year, new me. Got it from Abercrombie.
Dude, all my entire closet's Abercrombie now.
Shout out to them. Complete rebrand. You could see when you went in. You didn't smell like fierce cologne when you walked out. Shout out to Abercrombie. It's my first and only Abercrombie purchase
Their
that I have.
Their hoodies are fantastic.
Yeah.
I may throw
this
on my sweatshirt.
Maybe the most comfortable thing in the world.
Kind of cold. Dan, I want to ask, do you have any New Year's resolutions, man? We haven't really talked about that.
I do. I have one resolution, and that's to get out of as many non-revenue generating and pointless meetings as I can. I have, over the last, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, been involved in so many different meetings, and they just become continuous, and you're just like, what are we doing here? Right. So my goal is to do less meetings so that I can have more time to be productive during times that I want to be.
Yeah.
And then allow myself to have more free time, which I've not been a good steward of for, you know, my entire career. Right. So get back in shape a little bit more. You know, veg out, watch some TV. I'm like 8 years behind TV watching for most people.
I know. So, same. You know,
it's outside of sports, man.
I know. Seriously, John, it's good to see you. Yolanda Narando. It's great to see y'all this morning. If y'all
are not in the house.
Throw up your New Year's resolution. Throw up one if you want to share it. I'm curious. Mine, you know, it's interesting. I want to make a comment to yours, Dan, first about the meetings. I saw a TikTok yesterday, and this guy, he was really funny. He goes, hey, I used to want to be in all the meetings. I used to want to be the guy that led the meetings. He goes, I wanted all the meetings. He goes, now don't invite me to meetings. I'm done with meetings. I'm over it. And like, he was like, I don't even want to spell the word meeting anymore. And now you said that, and actually I'm doing that. It's not a New Year's resolution, but I'm doing that too. I'm trying to stay away from meetings, because man, they just stress me out. They get me so behind.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm done with meetings, trying to get out. And then,
Valerie, I'm glad you have power back too. And you can watch us this morning. Good to have you.
Valerie, I just looked it up. Have you ever been to White Buffalo? It's a restaurant in Erie, Pennsylvania that I went to 3 times in 3 days that I was in Erie, Pennsylvania.
I do the same thing. I think it's a guy thing. When I went to React Miami last year, I went to Coyo Taco 4 times in like 2 days.
Yeah, dude, I get it, man.
Problem.
Sometimes you know, especially if you don't have like the time to go out and visit. You know what you're getting, right? Somebody recommended to me. I was like, okay. So I went. I'm like, man, that was really good. I was running late, meetings all day. I went and I was like, man, that was a really good meal yesterday. Might as well do it again.
Yeah. It's like, where'd you eat? At one place. That was it. Emmett, do you not call this? No, this is not a meeting. This is a friendship hang, Emmett. This is a friendship hang. Last meetings of 2024. New Year's resolution for me, getting better, focusing it longer. Listen, I saw something where like people's attention spans are shot right now. And I get this. I sense myself wander a ton So I totally get that.
But Naranda, I want to say there's been a lot of science about being able to disconnect for a few minutes. So the brain isn't really trained to focus on something for super extended periods of time. I don't remember what that exact time is. Okay. But a lot of people have talked about breaking your day up into 25-minute increments so you can focus on that.
Oh, for real?
I always say the best thing to do to focus is to like actually focus on it. And so like when I need to get a project done, an assignment done, whatever it might be, and I need to completely focus on it, I shut off my email, I turned my phone upside down, and then I just focus on that for that 25 minutes.
I love that. But, I love that. So, Christina, it's good to see you, girl. Again, if you are tuning in, we're talking about New Year's resolutions today. I think my New Year's resolution, I think in general, I hate putting quantifiable metrics on New Year's resolutions because it kind of stresses me out if like I'm not at a certain point. I think for me though, not I think, I know for me it's putting mental, physical, and spiritual health first in 2024. So I'm actually on this cleanse right now. If you follow me on social, I've started to talk about it. Down 6 pounds in 4 days. It's like Whole 30, no caffeine, very simple foods. I deal with a ton of anxiety. It's not crippling yet, but it's definitely creeping up there. And so this cleanse is trying to kind of fix that. I'm working with a nutritionist on a few things. So, and it's a remote nutritionist. So if you are looking for a nutritionist, my girl is amazing. She's not even paying me to say it.
Nice.
She's incredible. So if you guys are interested in hiring a nutritionist, she's like $200 a month, $225 a month. And she basically custom writes everything for you. It's, I don't know. She should charge like double the amount.
Nice.
Let's see here. Yeah, it is doable. Took some Huberman last night. Yeah. Huberman. He's good. He's good. My focus hack, making audio playlists. Oh, I like that. That's not bad.
I love that.
That's not bad. Emmett, no coffee. Yeah, no, it's not fun. I miss it tremendously. I talked with my girl yesterday, my first meeting with her, and she was like, if your body is trending the right way in the next 7 days, we can introduce decaf. I said, that would be wonderful because I just missed
the taste of coffee.
All right, Dan, we got a few things to talk about. I'm actually prepared today. So we're probably going to do a little bit more of these one-on-ones. Like the original intent for Unicorn Finders was for me, Dan, and Jake. Jake has kind of like, you know, like just has flowed away. But like Dan, like the whole point of this was to kind of get back to our roots and hang out as friends. And so we are going to get startups. Like I said, we're going to have multiple startups, you know, next week and the following week. But we're going to do more of these one-on-ones because Dan and I just have really good conversations. So, so we're going to do more of these. But I came prepared. We're going to have topics to talk about. So Dan, first topic of the day, which I thought was fascinating when I saw this, is about Microsoft adding a new piece to the keyboard. So Microsoft is adding a new key to the PC keyboard for the first time since 1994. Meet the Copilot key. That will be a generative AI assistant within Windows 10 and 11. What do you think of this?
Well, I'm trying to remember what Microsoft would have added to the keyboard in 1994. Does it say what the last thing?
I'm going to Google it real quick. What?
Yeah. What was the last thing that was entered before that? No. Obviously, AI Copilot. A lot of those AI components that we're talking about are going to be fixtures of your life moving forward. How do you integrate those? There's still a lot of things when it comes to AI that we're very, very far on. But when it comes to assisting and maybe writing letters of recommendation, or when it comes to making something sound a little bit better, or grammatically reading it in a different, you know, with a different somebody else reading it, right? So there's functionality there. I know that there's a lot of Copilot functionality within Azure and Azure Active Directory and a lot of the AR, a lot of the tooling that Microsoft has created that Copilot can help with developers and things of that nature. So it's fascinating. It is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. It's just a matter of to see what happens next with Copilot. I have a Mac, so I haven't used Copilot, but some of the things that I've seen are really neat with Copilot. And you would imagine it's getting bigger and better each and every day. So it's but a fascinating addition.
It was the
Windows key. Thank you.
Interesting. Brett did Naranda. Not know that. Have you seen anything that's interesting on the Copilot thing or not?
Because I don't work on a PC, I don't have like access to it. Right? I don't see it. I do know that you can press it. Like if you're writing a letter, it will read through that. It will check sentence structure, grammar, all of those things. There's other tools like Grammarly that have existed that can help do that. But I know that there's a lot of functionality within Copilot from a tech perspective as well. So so the answer to your question is no. But
I really want AI to work.
What is?
Well, I know it is, but like, so again, our favorite podcast group chat, they were talking about this. It's like Anand was, you know, obviously, or D was coming at Anand about it. But like outside of a business case, like who's using it, right? It makes sense. Like with Excel, like being able, like supposedly, I haven't messed with it, but supposedly like you can do all the formulas, even if you don't know how to do the formulas. Like it's kind of crazy from that perspective. So like, I get it from that perspective, but you know, again, I'm curious if anybody, we have a bunch of people in the chat this morning, which is awesome, which is why I like doing one-on-ones, because it's a little bit more intimate. If you are using AI consistently in your day-to-day personal life, please comment.
Like, I wish we didn't call it AI.
Me neither.
Right? Because I think like, a lot of people have expectations of sentient, you know, robots walking around.
Like iRobot or whatever.
And exactly. And like, it just doesn't have to be that way. Like, if there's another term, I think people would be so impressed, but they're like, oh, that's all it does. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool that you can ask it to help write a letter of recommendation for somebody. Instead of taking 40 minutes, you can now run through it in 5 minutes. I think that that's pretty neat. There's a lot of functionality from an AI perspective when it comes to Excel, when it comes to development. There's a lot of key components of AI that I still think people have this grandiose vision of like what it should be. And it's like, if that's what it does and can help you be more productive by, instead of tediously typing in a bunch of formulas and you can plug in a Copilot or whatever it might be to help you get that spreadsheet done. Right. Like, nobody enjoys getting spreadsheets done. They enjoy getting the final result of that spreadsheet, right?
Josh, that is interesting.
The recipe.
I use it to scale recipes. Hey, Josh, I love you, dude, but couldn't you just like say, like in your head, go like times five? Like if you need one cup, go five, you know, I don't know.
Josh, I don't know if it always works that way though.
I'm an
okay cook.
I'm a terrible cook. By. So Josh, like I may be wrong on this. Please correct me. AI is a horrible name. It's not intelligence. Yeah. Marketing. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. I wish it was called something else because it's not.
It just get grabbed onto that. Right. And it's probably the closest thing to any like phrase that was in our vernacular as it was. What I'm curious to see when it comes from AI is these large language models. I think the New York Times just sued OpenAI for taking all of their articles, right? Because these large language
that's
models.
Crazy. That's
so
crazy.
Now you have some copyright things, right? So now all of a sudden, you know, if the New York Times is first, you know, the Wall Street Journal, the rest of your periodicals, The Economist, whoever that it learned and trained from, you know, what happens, right? And if those large language models can no longer learn from that, then what, right? I've always said the most sincere sign of flattery is plagiarism, but I mean, man, OpenAI really like took
like it's
that
just
to the
ripping
extreme.
Off. It's not it's just,
right. That's all it did, right? And if you say, hey, you know, David Brooks is a writer for the Times, I think. If you say, hey, write me an article about aliens landing in Miami on New Year's Eve, written in the style of David Brooks, like it's going to create something. And what did it learn from? David Brooks related New York Times articles, right? So like, I mean, it's not the same, but I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
That is copyrighted information. So
yeah, I mean, it's Pandora's box. One of the AIs got caught with some artists they were using for image generation. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I don't know if y'all caught.
Yeah.
Dan, I don't think you may ever make the show first. No, you are the show first rule with the guys that are trying to
help protect
artists. I mean, it's just it's fascinating. It's fascinating. So, all right, next topic we're talking about here. So job report stuff, right? The job market stays impressive. The jobs report for December was released this week. It surpassed expectations, indicated the job market remains strong in the new year. Employers added 216,000 positions for the month, with the unemployment rate held at 3.7%. However, the report showed that inflationary pressures are still prevalent in the labor market. Average hourly earnings rose 0.4%, and were up 4.1% from a year ago. Thoughts on kind of coming into the year. I'm always curious, like those 216,000 positions added in December to me, like screams like temp stuff.
So
I don't know if you've read it.
It's probably the ADP non-farm payroll edition. The problem that I have with these numbers is that they often get revised either up or down like 5 or 6 months from now. And by that point, you've kind of forgotten. I am curious to see what happens, with that revised number. But the job market is still not firing on all cylinders.
Right.
From a middle management, from a leadership perspective, that's way down. Companies are being strategic about their hiring in the IT side of things. A lot of companies just follow trends of other companies, right? So a lot of companies have slowed down hiring. They look at market trends. I think a lot of them want to see what happens with interest rates, because like the economy from a public perception perspective is really bad. But when you look at some of the indicators, they're actually really strong. But inflation impacts everybody. The stock market's ripping and roaring right now. But then you see jobs reports, you see hiring, down. While it's still good, everybody knows that the job market is not anywhere close to what it used to be.
How, we both work in the staffing world, right? I mean, in a way. What did your December look like? Because our December was pretty busy.
It was busier than we anticipated, and we are staying busier until in January, but certainly it's not slowed down probably 30-40% of what it was, a year ago. Right. So things are slowly picking up, but again, it's a lot of strategic decision making, right? It's a lot of strategic hires rather than, kind of blanket hiring across the board. For a few years there, you saw a lot of companies adding, hey, we have two network engineers, let's just have a third to be able to split some responsibilities. We're not seeing as much of that anymore. We're seeing a lot in seeing a lot in DevOps, data, cybersecurity is still really big. Development is fine, but you're not seeing as much new product development now as you certainly were before.
There's this massive conundrum. I'm curious your thoughts. It's fascinating to me how much leadership roles are getting hit. And I don't know how to say this, but it's like, I guess it's high pay, high reward for leadership roles, right? Because you get the bonuses and you get the higher bases and maybe higher dividends or stock options. But man, I just feel like going into leadership could be incredibly risky for your career.
Well, it is, and it can be. It can be rewarding. And I also don't want to look at this with blinders on and say, hey, because it's bad right now, that it's bad all the time. If you go back a few years ago, there was a ton of people that were getting into management and leadership that had never had the opportunity before just because companies were ballooning. This is, what happens with capitalism, right? Yeah. So I still think if that's the route that you want to go, there's a lot of opportunity, and the economy's not going to be down for forever, right? It'll pick back up, and I think this year will be a little bit better than last year. But for that, it's a strategic choice. But I always tell people, hey, like if you move into that role, expect to have per $10,000 to $15,000 you make, have like about a 2-week search. So if you're somebody making like $200,000. Know that it's going to take a while, right? Yeah. And the higher you get on the pyramid, remember, you're fighting all of the people that have been at that point of the pyramid before. Somebody's willing to take a step back or those that are willing to take a step up, right?
Yep, absolutely. So Christina makes a very good point here. 1 2/3 tablespoon times 5 is hard. Okay, all right. That makes it very...
Yeah.
I have no idea. Math. Zero idea. Mm. So Josh, you were right. I do apologize. Last topic as we kind of wrap up here, because I do have a hard stop here in 10 minutes. Trending down, high paying jobs. Friends, listen. Mm. I want to brag on us. We have been saying this now for 3 years. We work anything, and I say this too, not even us, like recruiters, agency recruiters, really the good ones, really truly like understand the market. And we've been saying this now for 3 years, but a report just came out recently that the number of high paying job opportunities is sinking. The job search platform Ladders found that the number of six-figure hybrid job opportunities dropped almost 70%, 70 from October to December. High paying remote jobs dropped 12%. Jobs that pay $200,000 or more really drove the increase for in-person roles. Dan, thoughts on that? Because that is staggering. which is staggering.
Shouldn't be a surprise.
Yeah.
Surprise. 2.5 years ago, we sat, not in this office because I'm in a new office now, but 2.5 years ago, we sat down and said, hey, as much as we want the idea of remote to change for good forever, as much as the mantra was like, the workers have taken things back, like it's ours now. Like, unfortunately, that's just not the case. Now, I do think that there's been some good movement when it comes to hybrid or when it comes to remote work.
There's more of a conversation now, which needed.
There's more of a conversation. I think there's more flexibility. I think employers now are willing to say, hey, like, you can work remotely, right? Like, we no longer need you to take PTO to get your refrigerator delivered, right? Or,
correct.
Hey, if you want to go see your family in Boston for a week, I trust you that you'll work. And there's like, it's a less nuanced conversation now. However, I do think the idea, and you're seeing this now with big tech, who was at the forefront of being remote, saying, hey, like, we do want people back in the office. Now, there's a lot of reasons, right? Some are micromanagement, some are control, some are a little bit more altruistic in the idea that people work better together. There's probably no one answer for every single person, and businesses have made strategic purchases or leases that they're not just going to write off as lost forever, right? And that's one of the things that I said is like, commercial real estate is a huge driver in our economy. And a lot of businesses put a lot of money down to put that or to have those office spaces. And like the idea that they're just going to write off tens of millions of dollars so that they can have remote workforces, especially disparate all over the country. And then companies are running into issues where people weren't reporting where they were working. You're running into tax and HR issues. You weren't sales tax, et cetera, or income tax. So I do think, as a society, we've moved much more closer to a hybrid workforce. And I still think we are very, very far, if ever, getting into a truly more remote workforce. And I'm seeing it contract more and more every quarter.
Yeah, I mean, listen, whether you hate it or not, I mean, I think it's going to be a battle for a while. You know, I think we pendulum swung way too hard from 2021 to 2022. And I think we're correcting. But I also do think that I talk about awareness a lot in the job search. You just got to be aware right now. If you can't find a job because it seems like your salary is too high, be aware, right? If you can't find a job because all the positions you're interviewing for in person, be aware. I feel like a lot of folks are like, well, they're trying to live in 2021, 2022 land, and that's just not it anymore. It's just not it anymore. So be aware of that.
Yeah. And it's, I'm curious to see, you know, what, continues to happen, what the continued trend is. I do think that there's a lot of companies, you know, I work with a company here locally that has done a fantastic job with remote. They've done a fantastic job of keeping and continuing their culture of remote. And they've done exceedingly well during that time. I'm not saying that remote doesn't work. I'm not saying that for most companies, it couldn't work. I just don't see the tides going in that direction. You know, it's sad and disappointing that is to folks. But what I will say when it comes to salaries, as much as we've probably plateaued, I don't see us really falling back when it comes to salaries either. I think the number of positions that might be available might be a little bit less, but I'm also not seeing a scaling back of salaries.
I do think that right now, the lowest salary is probably going to win out. And like that kind of like it works in a lot of areas, right? But like, listen, this is where communication is, right? Again, being aware, if you're dealing with a recruiter, like if you're working with Dan and his team, like, hey, my ideal salary is 150, but listen, I'm willing to look at anything at 120, right? Or if you're interviewing with an internal recruiter, say the same thing, because what happens is that like Dan and even myself, we need ranges to be able to send you opportunities. And if you're just hard set on one range, like, let me ask you this. If you really want 150 and you're dialed into 150, do you really not want me to call you with a role at 140?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so like, those are the type of things to be aware of right now in this market.
Yeah. And I don't want people to think, hey, if you are a more highly compensated person that you're not going to get the job over somebody that's making less money than you. I just think that right now in our economy, there's been some people that have scaled back some of their salary requirements, but also companies are now having to justify to themselves, hey, is this person worth the extra $10, $20, $30,000, whatever that might be? Or are we willing to have this person kind of learn more on the job to get particular tasks done? But again, I don't think that this is a forever trend. I do think that the interest rates are going to drop a little bit this year, and a drop of 100 basis points, 150 basis points could zoom the economy into unbelievable amounts of hiring, right? But when interest rate lending goes up 100% in the course of a year, there's going to be some scaling back, and there's going to be some things that businesses are doing. And so looking at yourself is, hey, maybe I'm more highly compensated than other individuals that might be, you know, applying for this job.
Right.
What more do I bring to the table that might allow me to take something off of the plate of somebody else? Or, hey, can me, and if there's another person over there that's really good at XYZ technologies, do we now collectively serve the need of being able to fill that job? Or in the case of one of my clients, one person had a skill set in a previous role that would allow them to get rid of one of their Deloitte consultants that's charging them $200 an hour, right? So like those are things that can let somebody stand out. So
coming in from Brett, if you are forced to add salary in application, do you show your hand or put something like market in the field? I think you need to like do the research and know what market is, and then you're just going to have to put in whatever you feel comfortable with.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that. I know a lot of people put zero in there, and then times get wasted. Having the back and forth, as frustrating as it can be, Brett, I would say that it's going to be more frustrating if you get set up with an interview and you go through an interview process and you find out the position's $20,000 or $30,000 less than you want, than you are if somebody rejects you based on that number. So you can put a number in, you know, put a range of a number in there, but I don't think that market is necessarily helping somebody, because everybody's market is different. I have companies here that will pay a senior engineer $110,000, and I have other companies that will pay them $160,000, right? So for every company, there's a different market, and every company looks at roles differently, right? You being a senior engineer at one company could be very, very different than at another company, right? Yeah. Or you being a systems administrator at one company making $70,000, I have a company that calls their $150,000 system engineers almost architects, systems administrators, just because that's the job they go by, right? So I think, but I do think that transparency of where you're at and what you're looking for is going to yield less headaches for you in the process than just putting zero or putting market.
Yep, 100%. Cool. All right, y'all. Well, thanks for hanging out with us today. Dan, it's good to see you, man. I got to bounce. I appreciate you a ton. Y'all have a good one. We'll be back next week with a guest. It's going to be fun. Y'all have a good one. Peace.
See you guys.